From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Do you have people in your life whose smartphones or other devices are always running out of juice? Hey, can I plug in? Do you have a charging cord? You know who you are. Meanwhile, the Meta Corporation, which owns Facebook and Instagram and is one of the big five American tech companies, has come looking for juice here in central Illinois.
Meta is signing a 20-year agreement today to buy all of the power generated at Constellation's Clinton Clean Energy Center in Illinois.
1.1 gigawatts of nuclear power starting in 2027. So clearly, Meta plans to use this power for quite a long time.
We're seeing so much demand for energy from all the big technology companies.
All right, that demand has a lot to do with the gold rush into AI, many current versions of which rely on large, power-hungry data centers. And if you're not familiar with Clinton, imagine a triangle created by Bloomington Normal, Champaign-Urbana, and Decatur. The Clinton Power Station is roughly in the middle. Joining me to talk about the complexities of this deal, what it means for the future of nuclear energy, artificial intelligence, and central Illinois is Ashley Finan, fellow at the Center on Global Energy Policy at Columbia University, chief science officer at the Idaho National Laboratory. She earned her PhD in nuclear science and engineering from MIT. Ashley, welcome to the 21st Show. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Listeners, if you want to join us today, 800-222-9455. We're going to have a fast-moving conversation. We're only on this for about the next 14 minutes or so, so don't wait. 800-222-9455. All right, let's break this deal down. What's in it for Meta and Constellation Energy?
Sure. Well, for Meta, they're looking for a known reliable source of power for their data centers. And I think that's true of many of these hyperscalers. They need power to be able to move forward with their key business model. So it's just an input to them, but they want to know that they have it. It's clean and it's available for many years. For Constellation, it's a long-term power purchase arrangement so that they can ensure that they'll be able to sell power from their Clinton power station for the next 20 plus years.
Yeah, let's dig into some of those aspects. Why is it? What is it about the way, you know, what we're calling AI, these large language models and other things like that? Why are they so energy hungry?
Sure. Well, they're working a lot harder than your traditional search functions. So they use what's called compute, which is basically, you know, using computer power to do work for the user. And if you go and you run a Google search, then, you know, you use a very small amount of compute. If you go and try to use AI, where either you're asking it a question and it's coming back with information for you, it's searching thousands of things in order to get you that information. So thousands of time more energy use. So all these small AI calls add up to big energy consumption. And there's a lot of training that goes into those AI models as well. And that training is very energy intensive. So at a high level, using AI is energy intensive, and all of these companies are rapidly ramping up their use of AI. It's happening throughout our economy, and it's projected to continue to increase for the foreseeable future.
And we're all kind of like forced to participate in this, right? Because if you're doing like a Google search, for example, which I don't know, I do probably dozens, if not scores or even hundreds of those every day, you're kind of automatically using AI by default.
Yes,
now.
True. Yeah, you are.
Yeah, I saw something recently that said, you know, if you're polite to these chatbots saying thank you and please, even that is like a measurable amount of additional electricity people are inflicting
yes.
on the system. Interesting. All right, well, what about on the supplier side here? Constellation Energy, maybe you can just talk about the general state of nuclear power. I've certainly seen this plant, other plants, or I guess their owner companies, have to go before the Illinois General Assembly every so often and say, oh, we're going to have to shut down because it's just not economically viable. How has that outlook been changing for nuclear power in America?
Right. Absolutely. I mean, I think that's just looking at the Clinton plant and in Illinois in particular, 10 years ago, they did come before the state and said, we're going to have to shut this plant down because it's not economically competitive in this electricity market. And so Illinois put in place the zero emissions credit program, which has enabled those plants to stay open for the past 8 or 9 years. But those credits are due to expire in June of 2027. And so as Constellation looks forward to their decisions on whether to relicense the plant. So the plant has a license for operation that also runs into 2027, and they can decide to make an investment and relicense again for another 20 years. But they don't want to do that without some understanding that there's a market for the power. And that's actually true across much of the existing nuclear power fleet right now, because it's been in operation for a number of decades, and a lot of the nuclear power plants came online around the same period of time in the 70s and 80s. And so now many of them are coming up on license renewal, and they're making decisions on whether to pursue that license renewal. And that involves a big investment in regulatory process, but also investment in replacing and upgrading equipment that needs to be refreshed in order to get another 20 years out of the plant. And so, if we want those nuclear power plants to continue and to pursue those license renewals, many are looking at them now, many are looking at second license renewals after this. But if we want them to stay online and do that, there needs to be energy policy that enables them to plan at a 20-year outlook. And kind of ironically, right now, the hyperscalers, Meta included, are in a position to support that 20-year outlook in a way that our utility system and the U.S. government isn't necessarily positioned to do. So it's really an exciting time for nuclear, with this growing demand, and with these customers that are looking out 20 years and thinking that far out, and can then support the kinds of investments that need to happen to keep nuclear plants running.
If you're just joining us, this is the 21st show. We are speaking with Dr. Ashley Finan, a nuclear scientist, nuclear engineer, who is a fellow at the Center on Global Energy Policy at Columbia University, chief science officer at the Idaho National Lab. 800-222-9455 if you want to join us. We're talking about Meta's deal to basically purchase all of the power produced at the Clinton nuclear power station. It has some, more well-branded name than that is escaping me at the moment, but over the next 20 years. If you have questions about that, 800-222-9455. Maybe that's a point worth digging into. It's not like the actual electrons generated at Clinton are going to be flowing to a specific Facebook data center, right? Is this just basically like carbon offsets in a glorified way, or am I misunderstanding something there?
Well, we don't have the details of the agreement between Meta and Constellation, but I wouldn't characterize it as carbon offsets. Meta is making this agreement with Constellation that it's allowing it to plan on a 20-year time horizon, also to do an uprate of about 30 megawatts on the plant, pursue the 20-year relicensing, and look at the option of building an additional nuclear power plant. So there's a lot more going into this, and a lot more thinking about future investments and the long-term operation of this plant than you would see with something like carbon offsets.
And that's fair, and I appreciate that clarification. You mentioned this additional nuclear power potentially I guess a reactor maybe would be the term, being built at Clinton. Talk about that. What goes into that? Because the U.S. has not been building a lot of new reactors, as you said earlier.
No, that's true. There's certainly a lot of talk and perhaps movement in that direction now. I think that Meta and Constellation have been clear that it's just an evaluation and study phase at this point, where they're looking at that option. But what they would do is we'll work together to identify what's the power need going forward. So what would it make sense to build? What are their options for technologies? And look at, holistically the benefits of each of the technology options and the size options, and work with the regulators in the state and the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, as well as the community, to evaluate whether to move forward with a project like that or not. So it's early stage, but that's where you have to start.
All right, let's go to the phones, 800-222-9455. We have Michael calling from DeKalb on line two. Michael, thank you for calling in.
Sure. Thanks for having me. I had a question about the power, where it was going before. Was it going to citizens in Illinois? And now that it will be going to Meta, does that mean that the price of energy for consumers would go up?
Interesting question, Michael. Thank you for that. Dr. Finan, what do you think?
Yeah, so to the best of my knowledge, to now, this power has been going onto the grid, as it will continue to do, and it's gone to various consumers. And I don't know whether that's a mix of residential, commercial, industrial, but probably it's a mix. And if Meta has an agreement to purchase that power, it will impact the availability of power for the citizens. Now, it will also mean that the state's zero emission credit program isn't paying into the costs of maintaining the operations of that plant. So I don't know how that will pencil out. But what I would look at is, what does the grid of the future look like with and without this deal with Meta? Right now, without it, the Clinton Energy Center would be in danger of prematurely closing, you know, closing before its technical lifetime is over, because of economic factors. And so what this does is keeps the plant open. How the consumer prices will change, I don't know. But I think it depends on what Illinois does to provide power for consumers.
Yeah, and also the Illinois has separately is trying to decommission coal plants here to meet its own clean energy standards that it put forth. And, you know, and I guess the timeline also matters as to how other forms, wind and solar, can come online and batteries. And it's a very complicated equation. Another caller, John from Rockford on line one. John, thank you for calling in.
Oh, thank you. How can we call nuclear power clean when it generates radioactive waste that is toxic to living things for thousands of years and has to be carefully sequestered away to protect future generations from its poisonous properties?
Thank you for the question, John. I appreciate that. Ashley, what do you say to that? I've heard from environmentalists who say, you know, nuclear energy is not green energy necessarily.
Sure. You know, I certainly appreciate the issues with nuclear waste, and it's really important that we do control and contain that material. I entered the nuclear field for environmental reasons. I grew up in the in an area not too far from some nuclear power plants. I have asthma. I was really focused on clean air. And for me, knowing that nuclear energy is clean for the air is really important. And all energy has externalities, it has costs. And nuclear energy is really the one, from my perspective, where we control those effluents and externalities much more than we do for other energy sources. I have concerns about the heavy metals and other toxins from all the energy sources that use those, and the extent to which we're controlling them. I can see that we put nuclear spent fuel into really robust canisters and have long-term management plans. And that wasn't always true, but it is true now. And I think it's vital that we address this in a cooperative way with states to identify what is our final disposal path, and to address that issue. But it is technologically addressable, and we see other countries addressing it. And given the realities of the crises that we face with climate change, with land use, and the fact that all energy sources have challenges, on balance, I think this is worth pursuing and that we can address those challenges. They are real, but we can address them, and we must.
I think the last thing I want to ask you about, and we have just about a minute left, I'm trying to remember the phrase. Is it Jevons paradox? I don't know if I'm saying that right. Like, we're bringing more, you know, potentially bringing more nuclear energy online, but at the same time, we have these power-hungry data centers cropping up. How do you see this fitting into the overall, you know, idea that we should be moving toward carbon-free energy?
Well, I think that, you know, I don't know for sure the answer to that. It's a big question, but as we've seen society progress over the ages, we see the efficiency of our energy use moving up, in that our, you know, energy use per GDP output goes down even as we continue to increase our energy use. And so I will be optimistic that as we improve our use of AI, and we're able to use it to become better at other things, quality of life and human experience will go up, and we should be able to better address the challenges we face with the environment. I think I'm a technological optimist, so that'd be my perspective on that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Dr. Ashley Finan is with a fellow at the Center on Global Energy Policy at Columbia University, Chief Science Officer at the Idaho National Laboratory. Thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you for having me.
More to come after a short break. This is the 21st Show. Please stay with us.